Good morning, church.
Good morning.
What a privilege to have the opportunity today to hear from him, hopefully, in my limitation and my language. Great. That's a good start. Today, I want to talk about the most important business meeting of all times. And this board was composed by unqualified, inexperienced, most of them uneducated, insecure people with doubts who transformed the history of our civilization. And although great progress has been made since that meeting, the reality is that the task is not yet finished. And it is necessary to have a clear understanding of how all of this impacts our lives as Christians today in relation to the times that we are living in this era. So I'm going to talk about the famous Great Commission. So let's go to our Bibles in Matthew 28, verse 16 to verse 20. Let's read it. Now, the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Amen. This is the Gospel of Matthew. As we know, this author was previously a tax collector, so he had some issues with his own people, but had this incredible encounter with Jesus, and he became one of the 12 disciples. And he was addressing this gospel to a specific audience, the Jews. And the particular purpose of Matthew was to demonstrate Jesus' credentials. His objective is to present Jesus as king, as the king of the Jews, the Messiah. But also, at the end of this book, we have some shocking news that Matthew wants to reveal. Jesus is not only the king of the Jews. His kingdom is also for the Gentiles, for the non-Jews. And then we see the preamble of what we know today as the church. So that was an incredible and important meeting. So what is going on here? Well, the famous teacher, the rabbi, who was preaching about the kingdom of God. He was healing the sick, casting out demons, performing miracles, was creating too many problems for the religious elite of that time. And because of that, he has been taken to the cross to die. But something totally unexpected happens. Jesus rose from the dead. He appears to Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. They tell the disciples, you know, the master has been risen. And so there's confusion, there's fear. People don't understand what is happening. The resurrected Jesus gives an order that he may encounter his disciples in that mountain because his plans are just beginning. This is not the end. Now, as we go to verse 16, it says, "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them." On this occasion of Jesus' appearance with his disciples was probably on Mount Tabor. I don't know how to pronounce that word in English, so forgive me. But some scholars believe that that was the mountain where Jesus was at that particular moment. Some people believe even that was the Mount of the Transfiguration of Jesus. So in verse 17 says, and then when they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted. Come on. It is possible, we don't know it, the text doesn't tell us, but it's possible that Jesus was not only with his 11 disciples. It is possible that what Paul was speaking in 1 Corinthians 15, when he says, then he appeared to more than 500, it is possible that there were more than 11 disciples. Maybe the whole crowd was over there besides the disciples. But the shocking thing is that some of them doubted, you know. What a great start for a gathering. Doubt is often our starting point. We are not different than them. Sometimes we are the same. So to counteract this dichotomy between worship and doubts in the life of his followers, a declaration was necessary. A statement was necessary so they can have completely security that he is who he said he is. And then we go to verse 18. And he says, and Jesus came and said to them this important declaration. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Matthew's purpose is fulfilled in this, in the very end of this, of his account, to demonstrate that Jesus is the King, he's the Lord. He's not an imposter, he was not a prophet, but he is the famous and awaited Messiah. That is huge, because if saying that he has all authority, then we need to see the implications of what does that mean. If all authority he has in heaven, well, it means that we are talking about heavenly entities, heavenly bodies, angels, principalities, and powers, Satan included. He has power over all of that. And if we think of the earth, then there are interesting implications about that too. All the activities related to this creation, to this earth, that take place on this earth, like being formed in our mother's womb, being born, to grow up, to work, to have a family, to do agriculture, the climate, the animals, having children, doing business, art, music, my money, my time, my retirement. He has authority in all of that, even over death. And that is really interesting, because there is something very particular about this Christianity. Coming from a Jewish background, in ancient times, there was a God for every aspect of life. People in the ancient times, they had a God for agriculture, a God for the rain, a God for the religious aspect. But this is a God that he's Lord over everything. And that's huge. That has a huge implication for us as well. Because when it comes to authority, honestly, we don't like to submit to anything. Leave me alone. You know, I want to be my own. Don't touch me. Don't mess around me. I want to do whatever I want. We learned from our pastor in previously sermons that the reason we submit to authority is because of police. Otherwise, we don't like to do it. But our hearts tend to be rebellious, to rebel. So if he has authority of everything, for everything, then I can say confidently that Jesus has a right to the totality of my whole being. Jesus has a right to the totality of my being. Therefore, we must surrender every area of our life to Jesus. The famous Shema, you shall love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. That is the concept that He's Lord of for everything that we have. We tend to say that we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior and as our Lord. But that's the most complicated part. I mean, to receive Christ as our Savior didn't cost us anything. He paid it all. But to receive Him as my Lord, then He's taking control of everything. And today, we tend to separate these two. We do this separation between, you know, the sacred and the secular. God of when we are the church. But what happens from Monday to Saturday is also important. It's really key to understand, to grasp this idea. And also, when there's authority, there's trust. There's confidence. And that can take us to the next part of the Great Commission, the commandment. Verse 19. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Jesus has given us the command to go and make disciples, followers of Jesus. Why? Because men and women are lost without Christ. No one is righteous. Not one. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Without Christ, we're spiritually deaf. And that has eternal consequences. Jesus has become the solution for that problem. And because of His sacrifice, we can have the remission of our sins by putting our faith in Him. We can experience forgiveness and to have eternal life. That is the gospel. And because of that, there's an urgency to go and communicate this good news. This is serious. People that we know, people that we love, people that are around us. This is applied to us and to whoever that we know. There's urgency to communicate this good news. And the plan to carry this message is through His followers. It's interesting. God doesn't need us to fulfill the Great Commission. He doesn't need us to take His redemptive plan. But He has decided to get us involved in the process. To see lives transform. So when we see this phrase, go therefore, He's saying what I just said, I have all authority. Because of that, then, as you go, while you go at work, at the school, at the church, in every daily activity, in the business, in the grocery store, there you make disciples, wherever you are. He doesn't make any separation. Making disciples is not an activity only, it is a lifestyle. And it seems that the disciples in the first century understood this very well. Go with me briefly to Acts. I'm not going to read the whole chapter. Acts chapter 8, verse 1 to 8. And you can see something really interesting here. We can see that there is this incredible persecution against the church in Jerusalem. And it says that they all were scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria. They were thinking to stay in Jerusalem. But remember, the Lord said, you have to go and expand this mission. They stay there. So the Lord allowed this persecution, and all were scattered except the apostles. What? The apostles, the professionals, the graduated guys in evangelism and discipleship stayed. And who else went? The volunteers, the members of the church, let's say the non-professionals went and started to preach the gospel. That is incredible. Rodney Stark, he's a Christian sociologist and historian who studied how was the growth of the church of the early church in the first centuries. What happened? Why we're here today, 2000s after? What happened? What happened? And he found out in his studies a couple of interesting statistics that I want to read to you right now. Listen carefully. In the year 40, in the Christian era, after Christ, in the year number 40, it is understood that there were around 1,000 Christians in the Roman Empire. 1,000. In the year 40, and then in the year 100, there were around 7,000 Christians in the Roman Empire. In the year 2000, 200,000 Christians. In the year 300, 5 million Christians. In the year 350, 31 million Christians. It took 350 years to put the Roman Empire upside down with this message of the Great Commission. These are facts. What happened? There were many reasons that I don't have the time to expand here, but one of the main reasons that he argues in the book is that everybody was involved and understood the importance to go and make disciples. As they were in the work, in the marketplace working, they were walking, everybody was having important conversations about Jesus, living out the gospel, living out the principles of the kingdom, and everybody became a spiritual multiplier. The Great Commission was not given only to 11 disciples. Every person who puts his or her faith in Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord has the responsibility to make disciples. But you can say, well, Oliver, I haven't been called to be a pastor or to be a full-time missionary like you. You're right. It's true. But you can help. By praying, you can intercede for the Great Commission. You can intercede for all the ministries, beginning locally, what is going on here, what the Lord is doing globally for the fulfillment of the Great Commission. You can intercede day and night for everybody who is taking seriously this. You can also give of your resources for the advancement of the kingdom. But also, this is my point today, you can go yourself. You also can make disciples. And the reality is that we are not going to fulfill the Great Commission only with pastors and missionaries. It is impossible. God wants to use you wherever you are. I don't have access as a missionary to the people that only you know. I don't. These are relationships that you have built for years. And that it's true, in order to reach all nations, because the commandments go to all nations, which includes every people group on the earth, all group of different languages, includes all of that. We're talking about, we are almost 8 billion people on the earth. And we're not going to do that if only the professional ministers are going there to share Jesus. We have to go, all of us. Together. There is an interesting example. In 1886, John Pemberton was creating a drink with a good taste, but at the same time, to be a good medicine. Well, at the end, it was not a good medicine. And that was the beginning of the Coca-Cola Company. After 125 years, the company decided that they will put this bottle in every corner of the earth. And you know what? They made it. Why can we not fulfill the Great Commission? If they could, with a human plan to do marketing, to sell, to make profits, why can we not believe that the Great Commission can be fulfilled in this generation? Amen. So there is an important declaration. There's an important commandment. And then we go to the last part. There is a promise. There is a promise. Last part of the verse. And I assure you that I will be with you always until the end of the world. You know what is interesting? The disciples, they had doubts. They were not sure if this was true or not. And then he said, I have all authority. Then he gave a command. And then he closed, I will be with you every day until the end of the age. In case you guys doubt, in case that you think that you will not be able to go and fulfill this promise or this commandment of making disciples of all nations, I'll tell you, my presence will go with you. How do we see this happening? Well, let's go to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Then we see that this is the key of the Christian life. You cannot do anything if you have not been empowered by the Holy Spirit. You cannot go in your own strength. Maybe if you're doubting, well, I don't even dare to go and speak to somebody about Christ. Yeah, you're right. You cannot do it. I can guarantee you that. But you can go in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That is huge. Jesus gave us power in order to be his witnesses. That is why we see how everything began with 1,000 crazy guys to 31 million who transformed the history of our nations. God has given us his Holy Spirit in order to fulfill the Great Commission. We cannot do it without him. And the reason I am here today, standing before you, is because I was 22 years ago, sitting on a bench on the university. Believe it or not, I had long hair, living a misery of life without Christ, taking the most stupid decisions I ever made. And this guy approached me. I'd never seen that person in my life. And he said, you know, can you give me 10 minutes of your time? I want to share something that changed my life many years ago. And by that time, I was kind of like an agnostic. You know, and this is a church guy. Wow, how can I, you know, in the midst of the crowd and the students making noise. And I was talking maybe about girls, you know, the next party and alcohol. And as I listened, and I listened about the love of God, that I was separated from Christ, that Jesus was the solution, and that I had to make a decision, my heart melted. That was in May 2001. I gave my life to Jesus in the midst of a noise, incredible noise, students crossing all over the classrooms. And that was the most important meeting of my life, knowing Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And from that little seat, a great tree began 20 years after, where most of my family now are walking with Christ because of that conversation. Most of my friends, I am a musician, so I had a rock band. Most of them are walking with Christ today. And I never imagined I was going to become a missionary, together with my wife, preaching the gospel of Christ with campuses, with students and professionals, and now seeing missionaries all over the world serving Christ. Because of a single commitment of a person, it was a couple, who took the decision to go and preach the gospel and to see with the lens of Christ, and to see the people with compassion around us and obey the fulfillment of the Great Commission. Application. How can you apply this message to your own life today? What is God teaching you this morning? What people has God placed around you recently? What names are coming to your mind? Where is your Jerusalem? Where can you begin? In your own house. Who are the neighbors, the people that you see every day in El Dorado, or you will see in El Barú walking there down the streets to get vegetables or whatever? And maybe you are the only person that they know. Do you need help to share your faith and disciple others? You can talk to our pastor. Many of us here, we are missionaries, we can help you. How to share the gospel with others, how to make disciples, and how to live a life of purpose and meaning. Because something is true, at the end, this life will be over. And we will not take anything from here. And it will be good for us to invest in what it will remain eternally. I really like what this historian said just before closing. Historian Philip Schaff said, Jesus of Nazareth, without money and arms, conquered more millions than Alexander, Caesar, Muhammad, and Napoleon. Without science and learning, he brought more light on things human and divine than all the philosophers and scholars combined. Without the eloquence of schools, he spoke words of life, such as were never spoken before nor since, and produced effects which lie beyond the reach of the best speaker or poet. Without writing a single line, he has set more pens in motion, and furnished themes for more sermons, orations, discussions, works of art, learned volumes and sweet songs of praise than the whole army of great people of ancient and modern time. Born in a manger, crucified as a malefactor, he controls the destinies of the civilized world and rules a spiritual empire that encircles the globe. Today, we are living in a very turmoil time. And what an hour for Christians to become involved in the greatest spiritual harvest since Pentecost. Even though we see despair and anxiety, and we see that things maybe are close to come to finish, but we have to keep working in order for that to happen. I learned this. Every time I do this with my finger, two persons die. So here it comes, two people die right now. And many of these people are going to an eternity without Christ. If we believe that this is true, that this is not religious, that Christ is who he said he is, then we must go and make disciples. Let's end. Let's move the movie forward to the end. Can you go with me there? Let's go to the end of this. How is this going to end? Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. After this, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in the white robes with palm branches in their hands. That is going to be the end. And I don't just want to make sure to be in that gathering. I want to be in that gathering for sure. But I want to encourage you and encourage me to contribute, to get as many people we can as possible, so that room can be full of people from every tribe and from every nation. And that we could be part of that reality, because we were instruments, we became the feet, we became the hands, and because we became his mouth to speak the hope for the nations. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. We realize that many times we come to you with doubts, with lack of understanding. You have mercy on us. And you have said clearly that all authority has given to you in heaven and earth. And that is enough, Lord. That is enough for us to really understand that you want everything in our lives. Everything that we have is yours. And as believers, you are giving us a clear commandment to go and make disciples. And we recognize, Lord, that we cannot go by ourselves in our own strength. We need the help of your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you have come to us. Now we have the hope and the ability to go and preach the good news, to make disciples, And thank you so much for the promise that you're going to be with us every day of our lives until the end. I pray all of this in your name. Amen.